Shabbos HaGadol from the end of Treyoso, from the Navi Malachi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Ani Hashem Lo Shaniti V'Atem Bnei Yaakov Lo Chiviten. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he hasn't changed since his birth, from the beginning to the end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. Only the things that he created are subject to change. This is the passage the Balatani quotes in order to explain why the Orthodox assume that the Dini HaTorah do not change. Not some an arbitrariness on our part that we're obstinate and akshanis and we say the Dina HaTorah don't change. It's because we believe that the laws of the Torah are a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a description of Elokus. As the Pasuk calls it, it's a Mashal HaKadmoni. The Chumash and all the Dina HaTorah are Mashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kadmona Shalom, that's how Rashi writes on Parashat Mishpatim. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change, his essence doesn't change, so his description doesn't change either. The Atem and Yaakov, Lochi Lishem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that just like he doesn't, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is not subject to change, so too he promises us that the Jewish people will never be wiped out. This refers to the Klal Yisrael as a whole. What about any one individual Shevet? So the Gemara in Yesh Nechman says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Lord called the Shevet in Israel, that even one Shevet will not be wiped out. The Gemara there talks about Dina Yerusha. So the Gemara says, if somebody dies, his children get the Yerusha, does not children, the grandchildren, son. Cousins, the uncles, the distant relatives, and so on and so forth, and keep on going further and further. Nu, you have a Gematria, a Rashi Tavis, a Rashi, to raise a little money? How about, who's going to give the speech here? Everybody gay? Everybody gay? Okay. Okay. To go with a Gematria. Lolly, Chasas. So the Gemara says in Yesh Nechlin that if somebody dies, the Yerusha goes to their relatives, the distant relatives, more distant relatives, and then the Gemara says, so why not give a case that somebody dies, and all the immediate relatives are dead, and the only closest relative is from a different Shevet. So the Gemara says, that's impossible, because Gemara, you have a tradition, the Lord called a Shevet in Israel, an entire Shevet will never be wiped out. We don't know exactly who's from what Shevet now, we just know the Kohanim and the Levim. But we know the Gemara says that we have a tradition that no Shevet will be wiped out. The writer in the Tzivish on Peres Kehanim, quoted by the Biskir Rav in his Sefer HaChumash, says that this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers in the Chumash to each Shevet, Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Every Shevet is considered a Kohol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu, before the Yomim was born, Goyu Kal Goyu Yeni Mekko, Melochim Mechalatzecha Yetzeyu. So he said, Goyu Kal Goyu, what's the Goyu Kal Goyu? So that refers to the Shevet. You see that every Shevet is called a Goy. So that's why this Haftacha, Haftacha that Klal Yisrael will not be wiped out, doesn't only apply to the Klal Yisrael as a whole, everybody all together. It even applies to each Shevet with Neatma. No Shevet will ever be wiped out. The Pasuk describes that Malachi made a Takona. Malachi was Ezra, the Gemara says, the same person. So Ezra made a takona that they should bring all of the mice to the Beit HaMikdash to distribute it there to the Kohanim. Instead of giving the mice to the Leviyim, he made a takona to give the mice to the Kohanim. Avihu was called a mice Beis HaEtzer, and they should give it to the Kohanim. What exactly was the takona? So the Gemara in the second paragraph of Tzubis has a machloit to Satanoim. What was the Din Deraisa before Ezra made the Takana? Was the Din Deraisa? Machlech Sodei Kivin Ablozman Azari. Was the Din Deraisa? The Maisa Rishon may only be given to Levi, and then after you're not yet to the Mitzvah, you give it to Kohanim. But then, the Gemara assumes that the nature of the Takana of Ezra was, he penalized the Levi, that you don't necessarily have to give it to Levi, you have an option of either giving it to the Levi or giving it to the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you should assume that when I tell you that was always a Din, that B'chof Talud Nekadmish Nikru Kohanim Levim, the Kohanim are also from the Shevet Levi, so you can, in Atari, you can also be Yotzi Maisa by giving it to the Kohanim or to Levim. So what exactly was the nature of the Knas of Ezra? But any more, the Knas not the Din, that you should only give it to the Kohanim, you shouldn't give it to the Levim at all. And then Ezra, then Malachi says, and when you give, when you bring the Maisa to the Beit HaMikdash, B'chanuni no bozo, and test me out. He says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, test me out, Amar Hashem Tzvokos, V'lech Tachu Achem B'Tarubis HaShemayim, see if I won't open up the windows of the heaven, HaRikosh Lachem Baruch Hu, Ad Bo Lidoi. And I will pour out the bracha, Ad Bo Lidoi. So the Gemara in the beginning of Tainus comments on this passage that in general, there is a din, Lo Tenatu Es Hashem. You're not permitted to test that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean, Lo Tenatu Es Hashem? The question, what that means? Shaila and the Rambam and the Talmidim, not in the first what the Gedder Halab is, but the Gemara in Tainus interprets that law to mean, Lo Tenatas Hashem, you're not permitted to do a mitzvah and to demand reward of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to say, look here, I shook the lulav, so you have to give me this. I put on tefillin today, you have to give me that. I daven today, you have to give me that. And that's what the Gemara says, that one of the things, Iyum Tfilah is one of the things that Matzkirei Nabonaisim Shalobah. Because it says, what does it mean Iyum Tfilah? It means a person daven very well. And he demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has to give him his wishes, he has to respond in the affirmative to his prayers because he davened so well. You're not permitted to demand anything in reward for the mitzvahs that you do. With the exception to the rule, the Gemara says, with Maisa. When you give the Maisa to the Levi'im, or here to the Kohanim, what the Levi'im, whatever happens to be, when you're fulfilling the mitzvah Maisa, the Navi says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the exception to the rule. The B'chanuni Nobazos, you can test me out. You can demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Maisa. Yehudei and Hilchus Tzokhid is Machlekes de Lamor. Another Rachmanim, what about Maisa Ksotim? What if you're not giving actual Maisa from Tzvur that grew in Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramah says that Maisa Ksotim is also Dina Ki Maisa. You can demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he gives it, the person gives Maisa Ksotim. Not everybody gives a different opinion. When Maisa Ksotim is a Dinda Raisa, or a Dinda Rabbanon, or a Minis Tassid, it's a Minis Toyah. It's a minute choice, so then it depends if you've adopted the meaning or you haven't adopted the meaning. Those who never adopted the meaning are not mukhlis. That's how many posts can assume. The rice is not really too popular a sheet. Many posts can hold that it's the Rabbonah, and there are even a lot who hold that it's only a minute, and they say whoever never accepted it is not mukhlis observed. So those who give the mice itself and have a right to demand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are Muslims that have a right to demand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Schar and Ribo, as a reward because of this posts, the Chanuni Nobazos have the right to test out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it's contributed, they quote the Achleim will disagree with them, and they say no. And Maisa itself is a Dinam itself, it's not a form of Maisa. And this Yosem and Aklau, that it's Mutal and Nasus of Sakadosh Baruch Hu, regarding the Maisa, is only a Maisa, not on Sof and not on Maisa itself. You follow Sakadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Sakadosh Baruch Hu. No. It's not, if you demand, then it's an issue. The demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Even when you say that I want a reward, and then Hashem doesn't give it, they don't really mean it.
They won't take back the stuff.
They really want to give it anyway. They're just
hoping
that Hashem will.
That's how they tell any point. Right. They're not going to take back the stuff, even if the child doesn't survive. Therefore, it's not a violation. I don't know. It's a difficulty, though. The Pasuk in Malachi speaks of the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha and Ovid Elokim Asher Lo Yavodoi. So the one at the end of the first verse in Chagigah here, aren't they identical? Hainu tzaddik, hainu Ovid Elokim, hainu rasha, hainu Lo Yavodoi. So the Gemara says no, the Ovid Elokim and Asher Lo Yavodoi are both tzaddikim gemurim, they both do only mitzvahs, they don't do averes. So the difference between them is, the one is shown a pirka me'epamim, and one is shown a pirka me'epamim v'achas. One chazes over what he learned in Shir 100 times, and the other one chazes over 101 times. So the one who only chazes over the Shir 100 times is a tzaddik omer, but it's called lo yavodei. He doesn't really worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only the one who chazes over 101 times. Very strange. So the Gemara asks, how can that be? One more time, he's called avodei. For 100 times he chazes over, he's called lo yavodei. And for chazing one more time, it's called Ovid Elokim. How can it be for one time? The Gemara gives a mashal from the taxi business that if you rent a camel with a camel driver to take you a certain distance, take you 10 miles or less, so the fee is $1. And if you want to go two blocks past that, so you want to go one block further, it's going to cost $2. One block further, it costs $2. Why shouldn't they prorate it and charge another nickel, charge another dime or something? Why do they double it? So that's the chok. if you go, they have a hook. If you go that far, is a minimum fee. If you go slightly further, is way more than that. So the Gemara says the same is true regarding Shana Pirka Mea Problem as opposed to Shana Pirka Mea Problem V'achas. What exactly is the Moshul? So the Baal HaTanya fills in the rest of the Moshul. That's how Rachid used to say over this Sefer HaTanya. That in the Yeshiva times, the Chol Kavua was, because the Torah Shemal Teh was still about that, it wasn't written down yet, so the Zman HaTalmud, the Chol Kavua was the time that everybody has to chazir the Shiva 100 times in order not to forget the Torah. Because if they're going to forget it, not only will they forget it, they won't have what to give over to the next generation. It's not enough just to chazir for the Pchina 2 or 3 times. Now, to chazir 100 times to make sure that they won't forget it. So this fellow who chazir 101 times is doing something more than what is demanded of the administration of the Yeshiva. She only demands that he should chazir 100 times and he does 101 times. So that's the mashal with the shuk shel gamolin. So that's what Igmari says, that the one who does slightly more than what is demanded of him is called Ezra Lakim. The one who just does what he's mechir to do is called Loy Avod. It's a tzadik gomel. He does what is demanded of him. But that's considered the Loy Avod. It's interesting, the Baal HaTanya has an Igros HaKodesh in the letters at the end of his sefer, a discussion of this theme that we mentioned before, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, that the Dinei HaTorah do not change because all of the laws of the Torah are a description of Elokus. So he explains with that the strange phenomenon that you have in this week's Sedra of Taraz Batin. And more later in Perek Ben Sarimur, it quotes the opinion of one Tana that Ben Sarimur Lo Hayav Lo Yosid Liyos. It never happened and never will happen. So why was it written? Grosh v'kabel stash. And another Tana says that Abayis HaMenuka never was and never will be. It's only written for the purpose of Grosh v'kabel stash. Third Tana claims that Nirani Dachas, Lahoy v'layosid liyos. Why is it written? Grosh v'kabel stash. What does it mean, Grosh v'kabel stash? We should just learn the laws of the Torah to get more scha. There are so many other laws of the Torah. There's so much more to Shas. So much more to Mishnayis and Gemara. Why did the Torah have to write these additional dinim? We wouldn't be able to survive without these dinim. So the Baal HaTanya says the family would perhaps what it means to say, not a family, perhaps what it means to say is the following. That's for the complete description of Elokus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give all of these dinim. And most of the dinim of the Torah are basically a description of Elokus. They weren't originally, initially intended as dinim. You have to do this, you're not allowed to do that. It's really a description of Elokus, and it was described, HaKadosh Baruch Hu described his essence in such a way that it should come down to be Mitzvah Maisyas. You have to do these Mitzvahs and not permitted to do those Mitzvahs. There are certain aspects of Elokus which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unable because whatever, there's some esoteric aspects of Elokus which were so, all of Elokus is so esoteric, you can't really understand how these Mitzvahs are a representation of Elokus. But certain other aspects of Elokus which are so deep or whatever that they, even when they're represented by the Dinei HaTorah, namely by Bayis HaMenugah, and by Ben Sarimor and by Yoni Dacha, these mitzvahs are so far, it's Lahari of Alasadiyah, the point in the opinions of some Tanoim. So why were they written? What do you mean for the purpose of Rosh Vakabar Skar? For the Shleimus Alinyan of giving the full picture of the description of Elokus. According to the Baal HaTanya, there's a connection between this week's Sedra and this week's Haftarah, even though the Haftarah has nothing to do with the Sedra, it's the Haftarah of Shabbos Avon. But he claims that pasuk, Ani Hashem Lo Shaniti is the key to the whole idea of the Dinei HaTorah not changing. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim that the only Dinei HaTorah that's going to change is the one Dinei that says Mechunish is going to change. The Dinei of Ori Miklos. At Lost Yidlova, instead of having only 3 Ori Miklos, instead of having only 6 Ori Miklos, there will be 9 Ori Miklos. I think Mara has a question and neither whether Mitzvah Betelus Lost Yidlova or Mitzvah will not be Betelus Lost Yidlova. And the Maskana seems to be that Mitzvah are Betelus Lost Yidlova, that there won't be any Mitzvah. So how can the Rambam postulate a klal that the Dinei HaTorah will never be changed and the Baal HaTanya has such an arichas, such a mistake in our religion? So the Rabbi Chana Batim explains that means a different thing. The Mason, if the Tchias HaMason will be part of the Mitzvah. It doesn't mean Lossad Lover that Moshe HaMashiach won't be obligated to fulfill Mitzvah. That's what the Zionists were telling the Jews who came to Eretz Yisrael years ago, that we're in Eretz Yisrael now, it's Moshe HaMashiach already, so Mitzvah is Halef Lossad Lover, and this is Lossad Lover, so you don't have to keep any Mitzvah. Once you come, the whole purpose of the mitzvah is only chutzlor in order to keep your religion going until you get there at Yisrael. Now we're here. And this is lost in love, right? So you don't have to keep any mitzvah. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman says that that's not correct. He says that the Rambam says that this is one of the Yisraelis in Aramuna, that the mitzvah will not be bought to lost in love. Isaac Gemara says it will be. Gemara says a different thing, that Mason Chavshin. a mace is pasam and a mitzvah. What do you mean a pasam? Of course a mace is pasam and a mitzvah. He's dead. So obviously the pasam means to say mace and after chias a mace will still be pasam and a mitzvah. But those people who were born and are still alive, it's not that they were dead and they came back to life. They're still alive. They came back to self. Even if it is lost, it's lost already.
You won't be a candidate for a mitzvah.
Could be. Could be. Jewish. I have to have a tag on. I don't know. What's the difference when you decide, you know, a parish of the cost is not mature to a minute because he's not mechuyas. He's not about to use a minute. The
government?
No, the living people. So the people, let's say Moshiach comes today and makes the examination, and then we're going to daven tomorrow, Kabbalah Shem. The community is entire. Will there won't be any living people at that time? Joseph Tillman says no. He says, "These children I got to Yerushalayim from my great great grandfather, who is from the Tyson said it like that. Tyson, from the beginning of Sabbath, said that a beautiful man there was not tied in Achilles called Pesach. Tyson said, Mishain, Achilles Gloret, and Mara says, is not tied in Aliyah Regular. Tyson says, Machari said, since he's not tied in Aliyah Regular, he's also not tied in Korban Pesach. And it says on the bottom of the drop, you should look in the Bishlam Melach, on that Tyson, he says, he's never had a Achilles Gloret. Mara just says later in the first Tyson itself, Mishain, Lokarka, whoever doesn't possess a piece of land and Eretz Yisrael is part of them. Ali Olah Regla, Pesach Shul Shubuzer, but doesn't say it's part of them. So we see from the passage that
story,
what you mean about the stone, what he was wearing, either if it's a
tale
of
the
story, means that either it's Barbara
Shuk or
it's
that it's
other
people that will
be alive.
Yeah.
I was born before my grandfather. My father was born before my grandfather died.
That's right.
Why not? I couldn't imagine why he didn't get a chalukah. A level of salvation points out in the Sefer HaChumash that it speaks about Taharas HaMetzairah, that a Kohen HaMetahir has to do the Tahara. He thinks that the Mashmos of the Pasuk is that it's a special Din Kohunah, that it doesn't mean a regular Kohen should do the Tahara. A Kohen HaMetahir, a special Din of Kohen. Might not mean that it's a special Din. A Kohen is a Kohen. What could possibly be a special Din? So he suggests that maybe the special Halacha that the Gemara has, that a Kohen who's a Cholo She'avad, to the Yevid is Avidos Hakshera, that perhaps should not apply over here. But if it turns out that the Kohen who did the Taharas HaMetzairah was a Cholo, we wouldn't apply that Tlavah Hashem Chelo. Afilo Cholol and Shabo, the Avodah should be good. Same as that you could have said without the Briskerov's comment also. You can say that Baruch Hashem Chelo is only Din and Avodah. Other Gedolim said the same without the new Pasuk. He said it's a Kohen Cholo. That's Tikkun Abed, and then we realized later on that it was a cholo, so it wouldn't be good b'di'evet, because the special din of Baruch Hashem Chelo only applies to Avodas HaKorban, it doesn't apply to But perhaps what the Brisker said over here could take on more significance based on a different Gemara. The Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Kuf talks about when Miriam became a Torah, so who was going to be Royer Tanagoy? So the Gemara suggests maybe Moshe Rabbeinu should be Royer Tanagoy with Machlokes Tachanoim in the Goyim, whether a Koroi is kosher to be Royer Tanagoy. So one Tana says the Koroi is good, only the person himself is no good, or Baal Ki Ishtar, the husband is no good. Kol HaNagoy Ma'alim Royer Tanagoy is the Atzma, Kol HaNagoy Ishtar. And the other Tana says no, that Kroim are no good. So the Pasuk says, Al-Pim Yir Kol Riv V'Chol Noga, that the Kohanim are supposed to be used for Nega, for passing on Sarag, and to be Neteret. So just like the Korah is possible for the Neteret, that's based on the scripture that we learned in our Gemara, so too our Korah would be possible for Riyas Negoyim. So it's a Machlokes Tanaim. So the Gemara says, according to that Tana, that a Korah is able to be Riyas Negoyim, so why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu look over the Nega that Miriam had? And the Chumash would appear, that's how the Gemara interprets, and the Chumash would appear that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to do it. So the Gemara says, well, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Kohen. What did he discuss? Only Aaron was a Kohen. The Gemara says, no, but Moshe Rabbeinu had a deen like a Kohen Gadol. But he has a deen like a Kohen Gadol. And did he have the Meshivas in the Amigun? He had a deen of Kohen, so why couldn't he be right on again? So the Gemara says, no. That even if you should assume that Moshe Rabbeinu had a deen Kohen and had a deen Kohen Gadol, that wouldn't apply when you get to Negoy, because it says, Aaron of Anak is in the parish. He needed a different kind of a Kohen. So the Gemara then says that. This Torah says it's been engaged for Taharas on the Torah. The Gemara says it's been engaged for Riyas on the Goyim. That for the Riyas on the Goyim purposes, it says, V'hu al Aharon v'al Achad min Banov haku anim, the beginning of Parashat Tazriyah. V'hu al Aharon akoin v'al Achad min Banov haku anim, so the Gemara's Medayit and Zrochim Dav Kuf. And that tells us that Aharon and Banov k'suv and Parashat does mean any Koyim. Let's say, the Rebbeinu Shalom gam hen akach l'ko anim. The Rebbeinu Shalom is going to take someone and make him a Koyim yesh meyayim. But that'll be up to Talpiha Yerah, sure, the fellow will be a Kohen, but he won't be Aaron of Anah. So that fellow won't be able to be Royer Tanigoyim, and perhaps also won't be able to be retired in the Torah. So that's the din of Kuhuni. What exactly does he do in the process of Taharas on the Torah? So you have to have Tiglachas twice, all of the Tzutim, he has to bring special Karbonis. One of the special Karbonis that he brings is the Asham Mitzorah. And the bright of Rabbi Shmuel, as some people say every day before Baal Shema, says one of the Yidgim Midrash, I tell you, I his belly shot the Chlavi, I tell you, the Dora Chodosh, he has to yachl achsil the Chloloi, as she has to renew a cult of the Chloloi the Sevish. What is that talking about? Because the Gemara in, what's the case? Where do you have a Dora Shema the Chlavi, I tell you, the Dora Chodosh, what does that mean?
Right here.
Oh, so this is it. Bar Yivam is Arzayim and Aleph says that this is it. What does it mean? Hashem Mitzorah is a carbon Hashem like all Hashemites. One of the six Hashemites. And if Yotzon Lidon the Dovah HaKadosh, the Torah says it has a special new din. What's the new din? That you Zorek the Dam, Al Tnu Choroz No Haimonis, Al Boim Ragla Haimonis, Al Boim Yodo Haimonis, you have to use the Dam for purposes other than Zika Agav Yamaseah. That's called the Dovah HaKadosh. It faces comments on Ad Gimoris. You have a lot of Korbanos, you have a lot of dinim in the Torah that have Kiddushin, that have something different. Every time you have a din that has something different from the regular din, called a Dabah HaFadosh, the Tosafot says no, Dabah HaFadosh means Dabah HaSeisos HaKlal. If it's a Yetzim in HaKlal, if it contradicts what the rule should be, that here the Klal is that the Dam of a Korban is used solely for the purpose of the Zrika Al Gabi HaMizbeah. And here by Hashem and Torah, the Torah says he used part of the Dam to be Zorek Al Bain Yadah HaMonis, Al Bain Ragla HaMonis, Al Tnuch Oznai HaMonis. So that's a Dabah HaSeisos HaKlal, that's a Dabah Yotalidim Dabah HaFadosh. So once it's Yotzalid and Avachadosh, then the Brisa says in the Torah, you have no right to assume that it has normal dinim of a korban anymore. So the Gemara says, how do you know that it requires Zrika Agam HaMizbech at all? Maybe it doesn't need Zrika Sadam at all Agam HaMizbech. Maybe this is the substitute for the Zrika Agam HaMizbech. How do you know you need Haktara Temurim? It's a different kind of a korban in Hashem. Maybe it doesn't need Zrika Agam HaMizbech. Maybe it doesn't need Haktara Temurim. That's why the Pasuk has to stress, that's what the parasha has to say, and you zorek the dam on the mizbeach, and you mak to the emurim, because it's not for that being mentioned explicitly. I would have thought that not, that once it's yotzei lidam dava chadash, it doesn't require the normal dinim at all. One of the practices of the Taharas HaMetzora is that he has to take shtei tziporim chayis taharas, he has to take two kosher tziporim, and he has to shecht one of them, there's a tzipa ashkuto, amay machayim, and then he has to shilacha sa tzipa achay apnei asodim. He has to set free the tzipa hamashulacha. And the Gemara in the end of the second parak in Kedusha learns that from the Pesukim, where the Torah speaks about the kosher animals and the non-kosher animals. The Gemara is marvel that there's one bird that's kosher and there's a bird that's not kosher. The Gemara says that those two Yalpusas are alluding to these two Eifers. That one of the Kiparim is Mutar Bachila and one of the Kiparim is also Bachila. But it doesn't say in the Pesuk which is also which is Mutar. So the Gemara tries to figure out which is which. Should I say the Tzipor HaMeshulachas is Osir and the Tzipor HaShchuta is Mutar? You shechted it, so it's Mutar. Tzipor HaMeshulachas is Osir, you didn't shecht it. Or should I say, no, the reverse, the Tzipor HaShchuta is Osir and the Tzipor HaMeshulachas is Mutar. So the Gemara says, Mitzar HaSvara, we are Koveya, which Pesuk refers to the Shchuta, which to the Meshulachas? What's the Svara? Lo Yamatar HaShalach L'Tatola. It doesn't make sense that the Torah should say, Vishilach HaPnei HaSod, they should set free a bird, and the bird should be asa b'achila. So somebody will unwittingly take that bird and eat it. They'll give you an empire chicken, and that'll be the chicken that was asa b'achila. That was the tzipor HaMeshulachas. That must be, because the Torah wouldn't command us to do a mitzvah that would trip somebody up. So obviously the mashmoras is that the tzipor HaShchuta is the one that's asa b'achila, and tzipor HaMeshulachas is the one that's mut. But that Gemara, the Achreinim are all bothered with a kasha. Why would that constitute a kakola? If empire where somebody goes and they take that chicken and they shecht it, there won't be any takala, because the chicken is bottled better than all the other chickens in the world. You take a chicken, you know, I go hunting and I find a chicken, I don't know what the nature of the chicken is, so there are more than two chickens there. It's not a tarubis of chad b'chad. There are many chickens of hefka running around in the world. That's a tarubis of chad b'tre. A tarubis chad b'tre is bottled. There is a din that balechayim chashivi govern the tele, but that's only with the rabbanim. It's not a din that writes that the balechayim are not bottled. The Tosfos in the first parak in Bava Metzia, the Gemara of Tosfos Echad Ben Amluyim, the Gemara talks there about we spoke about it yesterday that Maisa Behemah, that the beginning of Atiri Vavei Velei Atiri Tofei. Tosfos there implies that the din of Beria, the barrier would be a big deraisa. You say that this doesn't constitute barrier. That's also difficult. Barrier is also, we assume in Shulchan Aruch, that barrier chashiv is like the tailor, is only a din midirabbanan. All the dinim, all the things that are not brought along in midirabbanan. Balachan chashiv is like the tailor, is only a chumah midirabbanan. On the level of deraisa, balachan manbot, is the same as she's in order. It's called as loch mashen istavu. The whole din of balachan, the whole din of barrier, everything is only midirabbanan. So why, that's what the Achronim asked over here, the Shah HaMelech asked, you know, why did the Gemara say, Le'yam Metara Shalach Le'takona, why would this be a Takola? Nobody will be doing any Aveira. The Tzipor HaMeshulachas, even if it's Asa Bahano, even if it's Asa Bahachila, will become Mutar because it'll be Batul Beroi. So some Achronim say, no, what the Torah means, Le'yam Metara Shalach Le'takola, Takola will not be that someone is going to eat it, it'll be Batul Beroi. The Takola will be when the Kohen sends it away, so his sending away is a violation of Eim Avatan Yisrael. The others ask, no, but that itself is only with the Rabbanon. There's a machlokes in the other day between the Raizer and the other Rishonim, whether Eim Avat and Isma Hatchila is a din de Raizer or a din de Rabbanon, and the Shach says we assume that it's only a din with the Rabbanon, not like the Raizer who holds that it's an Isma de Raizer. Again, what's the Takala over here? But the machlokes answer that when do we assume the halacha that Eim Avat and Isma Hatchila is only an Isma de Rabbanon? That's if it's a Tarubis of Lach Balach, but if it's a Tarubis of Yavish the Yavish, that's a different type of people. So then the principle of Eim Avat Nisla Hatkhila will be an Isha Deraisa. And here is the case of Yavish B'Yavish. This chicken is going to be bottled better than all the other chickens in the world. That's the Tarubis of Yavish B'Yavish. It's also very difficult. Because the pastor says that the Klal of Eim Avat Nisla Hatkhila, the person say, it only applies, most of the Rishonim say, and that's how we assume, it only applies when the person is interested in gaining Hanoah from it, is interested in getting something out of it. So he sets free, let's say, I know I have two chickens are kosher and one chicken is trade. And I'm holding on to the trade for chicken. If I'll turn my back for a few minutes, I won't be able to identify which is the kosher chicken, which is the trade for chicken, because they all look the same. But I'm holding on to the trade for chicken in my hand. So if I want to have three kosher chickens, and I mix up the two with the one in order to get three kosher chickens, so that will be a violation of Eim Avat HaNisla HaTchila. And according to a group of postmen, that'll be an Isha Deraisa, because it's the Yavish B'Yavish. But if my intention is not at all for the purpose of gaining any revach out of it, let's say I want to feed, let's say I have pieces of meat, and two pieces are kosher and one piece is straight, and I want to feed it to the dog. As far as feeding into the dog, it doesn't matter whether it's kosher or treif. It's mutter banos. Not that it's also banos. It's also banos. If I feed it to my animal, I'm getting halos. We're talking, let's say, pieces of meat that are all mutter banos. One of them is also bachila, and the other two are mutter bachila. So you're going to say that there's a mitzvah reim, a lot of additional hatchila to put it on the same plate to feed the dog, and later on I won't be able to remember which is which. No, I don't plan to gain anything out of these big things. That's what the Pasuk says. Any about additional hatchila only applies when the person is intending to get hanoah out of it. Let's say he has a pot of soup and he pours in a little trace of flavoring in order to enhance the flavoring of the soup. In such a way that it won't become kiyika. So that's a violation of Eimavat, and Yisrael HaKfil is pouring in traces in order to gain out of it. Well, he has such a big pot of soup and he has enough for 50 guests, but he's going to have 51 guests, and everybody's going to have an empty bowl of soup. So he pours in a little trace of water and he makes the volume bigger. So that's a violation of Eimavat and Yisrael HaKfil. He's adding traces in order to gain from the traces. He's going to use the traces as kosher. But here, the kohen is not intending to be mevatel the tray for chicken. Even if he said that the tzipah hamashulachas is the one that's also bahanoah, when he says the tree, he's doing it for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah for the taharah hamatzah. He's not doing it with the intention of gaining anything. But the result is it will turn out that it will be mixed up with the other chickens in the world and become utar b'achila. So it'll become vatel, but you can't say that that's the kohen's intention. That's not what motivates him to send the tree. It's not in order to gain. So whenever he's not motivated, whatever the motivation to mix it up, he's not the shame revach, he's not intended in gaining anything. Then we assume that it's not a violation of Eimavat Mishma Hatchila. So that's why the Pasuk says that it's really difficult. How does the Gemara prove that the Tzipa HaMashulachas is the one that's Mutter, the Tzipa HaShchuta is the one that's Osher? Because based on this Svarav, Layam HaTarashalach L'Sakala, it does make sense that Torah should say, we should set free an animal that's also Bachila, and people will violate the Avera. How is anyone going to violate an Avera? There's no Takala, not for the Kohen is being Shaleach, and not that the Balabos is going to eat it. Everything is hetzegom. So that's the kasha that the Achrayim have. Daki kasha. What exactly is the proof of the Gemara in that svara? Olayom etara shalach v'sakom. I don't think so. No, it's not a kulin. Yeah, it's kulin. It's not a heck. You think it's that?
So then the
first
cup, you take this one anyway,
you take the blood. You take two of these words.
Right.
So, and I'm wondering, I have a puzzle that you shall sprinkle the blood and burn the immune.
So it's not, it doesn't have a bit of cutler. You burn the immune? Well, what do you mean?
It's
another
thing. No, it's Kutla Machina. Kutla Machina is not a problem at all. Yeah. Rashi comments on the Pasuk, Yoshe Mechutz Liyohalo, Mikam Sheosher B'Tashma Shamita. Ein Ohalo Ela Ishta, like it says by Maimon HaKinai, Vatu Shuvu Lechem Liyohalechem, that they were prohibited at Tikshu Al Ishta, Shloshes Yomim, and then after Maimon HaKinai was over, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now they're mutter to go back to their wife. Shuvu Lechem Liyohalechem. You see that just like Beis Hazu Ishto, the Ohalo is also Ishto. And here when it says by the Mitzorah, Echutz Liyohalo, so what it means is that he's also B'tashu Shamita. So the Gemara in the first parak in Ma'ikotna has a Machlokes Satanayim regarding this din. The Pasuk only is speaking here of the Shiva Timei Sfiro. In between the Tiglachas Rishonah and the Tiglachas Shniyah. The Mitzorah has to do two Tiglachas. So the 7 days in between, it says, Yoshe Mechutz Liyohala. What about the Mechaluto? What about the whole time that he was in the Mitzorah Buklos? The whole time that he was sitting in the Mechutz Liyohala? Was he also after the Tashmi Shamita or not? So that's the Machlekes HaTanaim. One time it says no. It's only by Shivas Yimei Sfira that he's also the Tashmi Shamita, but the Mechaluto is Mutz. And other Tanaim, this is which Machlekes HaTanaim, in the first paragraph of my talk. All discussed. The Gemara Sanhedrin later on Mem Hema Beis has a Machlokes HaTanaim. What do you do for the purpose of Taharas HaMetzorah if the Metzorah doesn't have a Boyin yet? It doesn't have a Boyin Regel. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah from the Goyin. So the first time it says, Ain't a Boyin yet, Ain't a Boyin Regel. He's Fatah, Ain't lo Taharo Elamis. He's stuck. He can become a Metzorah, but he has no way of becoming Tohar. The next time it says, no, that you put it on the left hand. If he doesn't have a bani yada haimar, it's put on the left hand. It's an interesting idea. I mean that when you have a choice, if he doesn't explain, the Gemara doesn't explain how he got that. you have a choice between the right hand and the left hand. So the right hand is more chashuv than the left. So the right hand is the more chashuv hand. But you have no choice. You only have one volume, and that happens to be on the yod or shmona. So that's yimonis. That is the yimonis. Yimonis means when you have two, so the more chashuv the one hates the yimonis. That's for one time it says a pleasure. And the third time it says no. Notice on the comb of the dial that whatever stump he has left there, that's by the yad and by the regal, that's where you put it. So the Gemara says that this is a machlokes hatanan with a din and krokid ichsiv. Or not din and krokid ichsiv. In what for Shmuel had this chiddush that din and krokid ichsiv. That it says by din and nefashis, yad ha'edim ki yabar barishayna. That the Edim have to first attempt to kill the one of Chai Nisha, and if they don't succeed, then yad kol ha'amachlein, and everybody else has to help them out. So Shmuel has a chiddush din. What about what happens if Mikto yad ha'edim? What happens if the Edom would testify that somebody's Chai Nisa lost their hand after the time that they testified their hand was cut off? So you're unable to fulfill the pasuk of Yad Edom Tiyabob Rishayna. So you say that the fellow's off the hook, the Shmuel comes up with a Chiddush, yeah? Being on Kroah, you have to fulfill the pasuk exactly as it says. Then you might have the whole discussion, is this correct or not? You might finally come to the conclusion, Ela Tanari Hisa, Machlech Satanayim in the Mishnah Nigwan. One of the commentaries on the Mishnah there, the Mishnah Achrayna, points out that in his opinion, in the middle of the sugya, there was one point where the Gemara thought to distinguish between Din and Nefashis as opposed to Kol HaTarakula. Then in Kol HaTarakula, I should really say, not Din and Kol HaTarakula. We're not such sticklers to insist on every single detail as it says in the Pasuk. Yeah, look, Hachiri should do like that, but the Yevra wouldn't be Niyakir. But the one exception of Din and Nefashis, because in Din and Nefashis, we always say that he's Sila Ho'edah. You always try to be mahapas the chuso of the nidon to try to get him off the hook. And this is one aspect of the Hitzilah Ho'eda, the main aspect of the Hitzilah that we're used to is what we just learned yesterday on the Aflamah Beis, and the Seder HaDiyon. The way the Bezna functions, the Bezna should be talking the chus chilo and hamalamah chus and hamalamah koiva and hakom alamdim chus and all the various in Yoni HaSolah that are mentioned in the Mishnah in the Seder HaDiyon, the way the Bezna functions. And here there's another Indian of HaSolah, the way Yidashim Sukin. Should you insist on every single detail of the pasuk being fulfilled, and if not, the fellow doesn't get the nisa? Or should you say that it's love dafkid, it's just lahatchid, it's not miyakid b'riyedet? So the Mishnah Achrayna in his commentary on the Goyim suggests that maybe at one point the Gemara had a svara, and maybe a din, as far as you say, the Hitzil Hu'eda, you darsh in all of Sukkim Lekula. So whenever you can't observe every single detail, the fellow will be pata from nisa. Masha'eni came by Kala Terekula, they will say, lo din and kuakid ekhtid. And then the Gemara comes out that even in Kol HaTarakula by Nigoyim, where it's not an issue of Din and Nefashis, it's also Machlokes HaTanan. Ela Tanoim. Machlokes in Kol HaTarakula, but he insists on Din and Krokid Ichsiv. And the Parsha of Nigei Batin, the Pasuk says when you have an Evan Hamanuga, you have to be Moitzi the Evan. Rechiltu es Avonim HaShebohen Hanoga, Rechishlich Lehten, So what kind of an ear is this speaking of? Is the Dafke talking about Ayoret HaMakavit Chayim and the Moshe Shul Benun? Like in the Torah, it's Mishalei Chutz Rizim HaMachnos. It's not allowed to be anywhere in the Yirat Yitan Yerushalayim. And it's prohibited to enter into Ayoret HaMakavit Chayim and the Moshe Shul Benun. So the Rashi on the Gaon quotes that Tosefta to know that this passage by the Avonim HaMenu Gaon is not limited Dafke to Ayoret HaMakavit Chayim. Even to other cities in Eretz Yisrael. Any city in Eretz Yisrael has a higher level of Kedusha than the farm. The farms in Eretz Yisrael have a bigger kedusha than anywhere chutzlar. But the cities in Eretz Yisrael already have more kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael in the sense that you have to remove an Eben HaMenuga from every city. You're not allowed to bring an Eben HaMenuga into a city. Now, Yerushalayim and Kavos Chaim have a higher level of kedusha than the rest of the city, and Yerushalayim has a higher level of kedusha than even in the Yerushalayim and Kavos Chaim. That's what the Rash quotes from the Tosefta. Rav Soloveitchik said, mainly his father, Zechon Baruch Hu, the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought that Bizman Hetek Bomer, when it was mutter to be makriv on a bomer, Bizman Shiloh, there was an Issa Bomer. But before and after Shiloh, Bizman Nova Bizman, then there was a Hetek Bomer. There was a Bomer Gdol, there was a Bomer Tan. So when you wanted to make a Bomer Tan, a person wanted to make his own private Bomer. So the Loshon HaMishnah in the end of Zechon is, Kachmikalam Mechol and Mechol Ari Yisrael. He can meet Kachmikalam in any city in Eretz Yisrael. He said that his father had the feeling from the Lashon HaMishnah that it doesn't say Bechol Eretz Yisrael. That says, by the first part says the Ferish in the Mechilta. The opening Mechilta in Chumash Shmai says, that Kodim Shav Yisrael as Hayarden, you were permitted to bring Korban. Before the days of Yishuv Nun, they were obviously permitted to bring Korbanis in Chutzlar. They were bringing Korbanis in the Mishkan, which was in Chutzlar. Yishuv Yisrael as Hayarden, after Yishuv Nun crossed over the Yarden, it was prohibited to bring Korbanis in Chutzlar, even with Man Hetabam. Even with Man Hetabam, it was no longer Hetabam in Chutzlar. So that's what it sounds like in the Mishnah. Even though the Gemara in the Talmud Bavli never says the same like that, but that's what it sounds like in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Kachim Kal Mechol Mechol Ori Yisrael. Sounds like in Chutz Laretz it's prohibited to eat Kachim Kal, only in Eretz Yisrael. But Ramesh Soloveitchik thought that the Mishnah seems to be implying something even more than that. Only Bechol Ori Yisrael, only in the cities. And in the farmlands, you can't make a bummer and go into Kachim Kal. So that's Ashala, how exactly do you define a city? If you have a Neil Hamakat Khan Rashid Shubanon, says Muk of Khan. Fine, has a Khan. But if you say there's a concept of city, even without being Muk of Khan, you have to know what's the definition of a city. You have to know for the purpose of Muk of Khan also. You have to, if he's just a guy makes a house in the middle of the desert in the Negev and then he puts a wall around his house, that's not going to be called the Muk of Khan Rashid Shubanon. It has to be a Neil Hamakat Khan Rashid Shubanon. So the Mishnah in the end of Erechin, when it speaks about the Dinim of Ayoras Hamakat Khan, gives you the details. How exactly do you determine whether any given area constitutes a city or not? And the same definition that the Mishnah gives in the end of Erechin happens to appear in the end of Erevin. Sounds like the story of Rabbi Gerel used to say that the two Balabatim who were learning Bechavusa with each other, they're both hard of hearing, and they made up that they're going to learn Erechin, and the other one thought that they were learning Erevin. So they were learning Bechavusa, Daf Gimel, everything went very well until one of them got to Daf Lama Gimel, wherever the end of Erechin is. And he made it see him, and the other guy is still in the middle of the sifter, has still enough cook gimel to go. So that's when he finally realized that they were learning two different sifters. I said the first 33 blocks, that's where they make fun of the Balabatim. Terrible, no? And the yeshivas, they always make fun of Balabatim. It's a terrible thing, but good joke. This Mishnah appears both. The Mishnah appears in the end of Erechin, and it appears in the end of Erevin as well. The same Mishnah, defining what an ear is. And in Erevin, there are a lot of dealing about that. You have to know for the purposes of Chum Shabbos, for the purposes of Ari Miklot, you have to know also. The Gemara says in Erevin, when the Horeg, the Shogeg, runs away to the Ari Miklot, so while Kofman is in the Ari Miklot, the Goel Adam has no right to touch him. When he Yosef Chutz the Ari Miklot, the Goel Adam has a right, or has an obligation. The Machlokes is Makkos, whether it's a Reshus or a Chayva. Has either the obligation to kill him, or he has the right to kill him. So when do you define, the Ari Miklot didn't have walls around him. So how do you determine when he's in the city, when he's out of the city? He's in the outskirts of the city. How do you determine what the city limits are? It has nothing to do with what the government does. It has nothing to do with the mayor or the city council. There are dinim, there are detailed dinim. How do you determine whether he's in the city or out of the city? Then the Gemara says, the details are different than geared to Erevei Kumin, because Kumin is only the Rabbanim. And then geared to Eben Hamanugra, that's a Din Daraita. And then geared to Ayoras Hamakafis Chaimor, and then geared to or in Miklot, that's a din d'oraita already. So the Gemara says the dinim are slightly more lahakel, the city is slightly more extended than it gets to Kumin than it is when it gets to all the dinim d'oraita. So the Gemara discusses all the details. I mean, Torah, what's the shear of the city? Where are the city limits in the Rabbanon? What are the limits? So the Gemara is talking, but the Gemara says that for the purpose of matzah, you only yoshe the mitzvah if you have matzah hanachelos. B'chol Meshavos. That's how one time it says that you're not yotzei with matzah shel ma'aseh sheni if the flour from which you made the matzah grew in Eretz Yisrael, and then you were ma'aseh that in ma'aseh sheni to be mistaken all of the tevel, to remove the tevel. But one time it says the machlokes is hatanai whether you yotzei with matzah shel ma'aseh sheni. The way we pass the halacha, the Gemara says you're not yotzei. We pass the ma'aseh sheni is mamon gavoya. The Gemara says it's not shalachem. It's not shalachem, so you're not yotzei. So the Gemara says, why not? Do you need matzatzchem? You need shalachem by lulav and etzri. Where does it say that you need shalachem by matzah? So the Gemara says, no, we have the alkusa that you need shalachem. So the Gemara says, the way we pass from halacha, the ma'aseh sheni is mamon gavoa. So the Gemara says, nothing to discuss. You're not yotzei with the matzah shel ma'aseh sheni. So the shaila is according to the other tana who holds the ma'aseh sheni is mamon bailin. So it is shalachem. So maybe then you should be able to be yotzei with matzah shel ma'aseh sheni. One tana says, no, that the inon you require. Matan achelus b'chol ma'ashavet. So the pasuk says b'chol ma'ashavet and tokel matzah. So it has the connotation of, has the implication that you're only yotzei matzah. The simple translation of the pasuk is that the Jews all over the world have to eat matzah, whether they live in Egypt, or they live in Lebanon, or they live in Israel, they live in New York, in California. Everybody has to eat matzah. The Gemara has a drasha. It's not really true. The Gemara has a drasha that you have to, the matzah that you eat has to be able to be eaten anywhere in the world. Matzah nacharis b'chol ma'shavus is good, but if you have matzah sheni digin matzah, which you can only eat in Yerushalayim, you can't eat it anywhere else, that's a matzah sheni nacharis b'chol ma'shavus. The Gemara has a drush on the first. The Gemara discusses there, what if you have something that could have been nechal, bizman hetah bamis, bizman novigim, it could have been nechal all over in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, okay, that's called matan achelos, b'chol mashal, that would be okay. But the question is, why should that be so? If you're going to say like Ramesh, if you're going to say like the Mechilta, and certainly he's going to say that Ramesh Salvation, if you say like the Mechilta, even bizman hetah bamis, the hetah was only in Eretz Yisrael, and you couldn't eat called bamis nechut l'or. So that's not b'chol mashal. You have to say no, b'chol mashal seichem means in Eretz Yisrael. Chutzal is not called mashal seichem, and it's Russian. But you say like Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik is Vaitish there. You can't even eat the Maisha Sheni or the Kachim Kalim on the farms in Eretz Yisrael, only in the city. Right? You have further limited Drasha, that's what the Drasha means. B'chol Moshe Sech means where there are cities. Ashavish means city. Okay. You have to keep on chiseling down. You have to keep on limiting the Drasha. The Pshuta Shalmikra doesn't mean that. Pshuta Shalmikra means wherever the Jews happen to live, in Russia and America and South Africa and New Zealand, wherever they live, they have to eat matzah. And the drasha means that matzah is only good if it can be eaten in all the cities in Eretz Yisrael. The drasha doesn't correspond to the pshutim. Okay, you have to. You have to cook it like that, but the drasha doesn't correspond to the pshutim. At the end of Parshas Mitzrayim, you have all the dinim of the other tumas ayetza ola migufa. The first one is the zav. If a man has a riyas, he has zav mitzoro. With Mitzoro, from what part of his body? So Mitzoro means from the Eva Hazakhus of the man. Why doesn't it say so? A Loshin Nikiya. It's a Kinoi Loshin. Mitzoro means from the Eva. So it's a Kinoi. The Rambam writes in the Mura Nevuchim that the reason why the Hebrew language is called the Loshin HaKodesh is because we don't even have any words for the Eva HaMizdo. It's such a clean language, such a Loshin HaKodesh, such a holy, such a pure. The Lashon HaKodesh. The DNA was in Hebrew. Do you know what language the DNA is in? So the Ramban says that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, the Tzivuyim were all given by Lashon HaKodesh. That's in Hebrew, that's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is holy. Whatever the official language of the Ribbono Shel Olam is the holy language. But in this passage, this is clearly a kinyan. Tiyah Zav Mitzoro. What is the din of a zav? So the Rashi at the end of the sefer says, "Zos taras azav asher teisim menu shichra zera letam avor." You put together a zav and a balkarian. One pasuk to teach you that sometimes the zav only has a tumas balkari. When is that? A bal riyah achas. A zav only had one riyah is dino kimo balkari. He doesn't have to have shemunikiyim. And he doesn't need Maim Chaim. Azav needs a special din. He has to be tevel dafkin in a mayon in Maim Chaim. He's the only one who needs Maim Chaim. The other men don't need Maim Chaim. The Ramban HaChumash quotes to him. Achleik is again whether Azav needs Maim Chaim. We assume that it's not so. Azav does not need Maim Chaim. Rashi in the end of Sanhedrin quotes. Rashi in Shabbos, Rashi in Chorus, Rashi in different places. And half of the places Rashi says on Gemara. And he's comparing Gemara that Azav needs Maim Chaim. And half of the places he quotes that from others and he says that it's wrong. There's Pirus in Rashi. And six different places. It's on three places Rashi says that you do need Maim Chaim for a Zavro, and around three other places he says you don't need Maim Chaim. So the Ferush of Tosefta, the Ramban HaFinish book, the Tosefta and Megillah, and all the Yain Bain, so it says Yain Bain Zav and Zavro, Ella, that a Zav needs Maim Chaim and a Zavro does not need Maim Chaim. Finish. So the Ferush of Tosefta, so the Zohanim are wrong. The Zohanim are writing a Chuvah, so the Zavro needs Maim Chaim. So the Ramban and Rashi all say that it's wrong, it's not correct. So the Pasuk compares, makes a hefesh between a Zav and a Balkari, that a Zav, Balri Achas, only has the same level of tumah of a balkari. He doesn't eat shivanikim only one day, and his table is that day. His table has a riyaz even in the morning. His table in the afternoon. He has his harav shemesh. So when is a zav tamei tumah ziva that he needs shivanikim? So the Pasuk mentions the word ziva twice and three times. once it mentions Zav twice, Zosti Atamasa Bezovar of Soro Ezovo, or Hechem Son Bezovar Tomasa, he says the word Zav three times and it's called the Tomei. And here it says, Ki Ezov and Soro Ezovo Tomehu, and Pasuk Beis it mentions the word Ziva twice and it's called Tomei. So that's what the Gemara says, isn't there a contradiction over here? It says if he has two rias he's called Tomei, then it says if he has three rias he's called Tomei. So the Gemara says, yeah, if he only has one rias, Ziva, then he's only Tomei to the same level as a Balteri. You know, they're two different things. Ziva is a thickness and Balteri is a different thing. It's not a thickness. Nonetheless, if he only has a Zabal Riachas, he's Tomei to the same level as a Balteri. If he's Zabal Shtei Rios, then he's Tomei in Shimonitim, but he doesn't have to bring a covenant. And if he's a Zabal Shalosh Rios, then not only does he need Shimonitim, he has to bring a special carbon also. And up until the time that he brings that carbon, he's considered a Mechus HaKikun. One of the dilemma of the Zav is HaMishkel HaShivishkel HaZav Yitmo, the chair that he sits on, or the Merkav. The Merkav that he sits on becomes Tummy. To what extent does it become Tummy? So it becomes Tummy to the extent of an Av HaTumah. It says anybody Isha Shiyiga B'Mishkavoy becomes Tummy. If a man touches the Mishkel HaZav, he becomes Tummy. The Gemara in the first half in Baba Tamra points out that by Tumah, the cloud is that all the same Lapka Yetzi Behem. So if I'm an Av HaTumah and I transmit the Tumah to somebody else, so that somebody else, or that Kli, or that Oichol HaMashke, becomes a Tolda, becomes a Rishon Tumah. The Rishon transmits the Tumah, the other thing becomes a Sheir Tumah. The Tumah always goes down a Madrega. Whenever it's transmitted, it goes down. So it's all the same Lapka Yetzi Behem. When the Tumah is transmitted to another thing, or to another person, it goes down a Madrega. So I come over here, it doesn't seem to be going down. The Zav is an Ava Tumah, and transmits the Tumah to the Mishka Vazav, to the Moshe Vazav, same thing. The Nida, the Oled, there's all these people have Mishka Vamashav. All the Tumah Yetz all of them good for people who have the Tumah Mishka Vamashav. So they transmit the Tumah to the Mishka Vamashav, which also becomes an Ava Tumah. How can that be? When an Ava Tumah makes an Ava Tumah, isn't it supposed to go down a Madrega? That's the place it says to Kasha in the first Daf in Bava Kama. Rabin Kama is to Kasha. If there really is such a cloud that all the same has to be dafka lavka yetzibahem, that in tumah, whenever the tumah is transmitted, it has to dafka go down a madrega. So how come there's a din of cheret harer kecholo that the mace is an avi avois hatumah? So when the tumah is transmitted to somebody else, it becomes an avatumah, except if it's transmitted to a kli matefes. So then it's a cheret harer kecholo, and the cheret also becomes an avi avois hatumah. So here the tumah is transmitted from the mace to the cheret, and it didn't go down a Madrega, it's on the same level of Tumah. So the Rabbeinu Tam asked him, how can it be? The cloud is that told the same has to always be Lapka Yetzibah. Whenever the Tumah is transmitted, it has to go down a level. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no Kasha, that if you start the first Perek in Aholos, it'll become obvious from the first two, three Mishnayos, that even when you have a Cherev HaRek Echol, the Tumah has gone down slightly, at least a little bit. The Hainu bin Eger to what? That if this Cherev HaRek Echol comes in contact with another Cherev, you won't say that it's also another cheref harei kechol. It's mitamei shiva, and it's and you need hagosh lishi shvi, according to some Rishonim, when you come in contact with the cheref harei kechol, it has all the dinim of a mace, but at least one din has been removed. Other Rishonim hold that even more than one din is removed, but at least one din has to go down one madrega. So I know that this cheref cannot make another cheref harei kechol. So that's the shayla over here. What's with the mishka from Moshe of the Zav? Has the same level of tumah as the Zav itself. The Zav is an av, and the mishka Moshe is an av. How can it be that the Tumah is transmitted and it didn't go down a Madrega? So you say that's the parrot, that the Mishka Moshe cannot make another Mishka Moshe. Of course it can't make a Mishka Moshe. Mishka Moshe is only on a person. A Kli can't have a Mishka Moshe. That's not an indication that it went down a level. So Soloveitchik thought that maybe this is not considered a case of the Tumah being transmitted from the Zav to the Mishka Zav, from the Nida, from the Zav to the Mishka Vamosh. Maybe the pshat is that just like the Zav or the Nidra or the Yoledis have the Tumah HaYotel and the Gufa, the Tumah originates by them. So here there's a Tumah HaYotel and the Gufa on the Mishka Vamosh of the Hainu. When it's labeled as a Mishka HaZav, it's labeled as a Mishka HaNidra, when it acquires that Chal Hashem, so it becomes Tumah, not that it receives its Tumah, which is transmitted from the Zav or from the Yoledis to the Mishka Vamosh. Whenever it's transmitted, it has to go down a Madrega. That's how the Rabbi Nakam understood that Gemara in the first half in Bava Kama. So maybe the vote over here is when a Zav sits on a Mishkav, it becomes labeled as a Mishkav Azav, and a Mishkav Azav is Tumah. It's not the Tolda of the Zav. It's not that the Tumah was received from the Zav. Possibly. The Chiyorek Azav Batohar. The Molon Zat, the Din of Mayonashiyah. This is the din of Mayonis. That Rokom and Miraglov are considered Mayonis Azad, but they also have the status of Av HaTumah. The one Nida has discussions exactly what's included in Mayonis Azav and which Tumim have Mayonis and which don't have Mayonis. There's more comments on the Pasuk that if the Zav touches somebody before he was tovel in the mikveh, so the person whom he came in contact with becomes Tumim. Choloshi Yigabu Azav, Rochet Pamayim, the Tumim Ahuev, the other person is Tumim until he's tovel in the mikveh. So the Pasuk says, Choloshi Yigabu Azav, Yodav Lashatav Pamayim. It doesn't mean that he didn't wash him till he said that. It means that the Zav wasn't tovel in the mikveh. So why this strange lashon, the Yodav Lashatav Pamayim? Very strange part. Doesn't mean Yodav Lashat, it means he wasn't tovel in the mikveh. I mean, that was the common practice to be tovel in the mikveh with your hands up. So your hands were the last thing to come down in the mikveh. Sounds fishy? No. So the Gemara makes a drasha. The Gemara doesn't explain what the pshuto is. The Gemara makes a drasha on the Tosfos. The Yodav Lashat by mine means that he wasn't tovel his body in the mikveh. The Zav wasn't tovel his body, so he's still tamei. It can't mean that if he's tovel his hand in the mikveh, the rest of the body is tamei and the hand is tahar. Then it says, B'chol HaShi'i Gaboh HaZav. That's not true. That's what it sounds like. But the Gemara says that's out of the question. You're going to say, B'chol HaShi'i Gaboh HaZav, if I'm the Zav and I touch you with my hand, and I didn't dip my hand in the mikveh yet. But if I dip my hand in the mikveh, then the hand is tahar, even though the rest of the body is tamei. So that's what the pasuk really sounds like. So the Gemara says that is out of the question. That's utterly ridiculous. There is no such thing as Tzivah Lachatza. The Torah learns it up in the pasuk. It says Rochetz is called B'sorah B'mayim. It says several times. Sometimes it says Rochetz is called B'sorah B'mayim. Sometimes it says Rochetz is B'sorah B'mayim. How come sometimes Rochetz is B'sorah, sometimes Rochetz is called B'sorah? Ragut the kasha. So the Sefer Yosher, the Rabbein Tam, they have shtikol Torah by the Rabbein Meshulam, which Rabbein Tam got all angry about. He had a whole shekel over here. That there's a chilek between a tefillah and a mikveh, and tefillah and a mayon. Any given person is tamei has the option of being tovel either in a mikveh or a mayon, except for a zav. A zav dafka needs mayon. He needs mayon chaim, he can't be tovel in a mikveh. But anybody else is tamei has a brayer. So he claims, this Rabbeinu Meshulam suggested, Ashtikol Torah, given our Rosh Hashiva, I think he's off Ashtikol Torah. He said that in the psukim is mashma that you only need rochatz as kol b'soroi, by mayon shekol gufo elohem b'asachas, you have to be tovel the whole body at one time simultaneously. That's only when you tovel in a mikveh. But if you tovel in a mayon, then you can dip in the left leg, and the left hand, and the right side of the right ear, and the left ear, and the hair. Everything separately, b'zachas, as long as at the end, every limb of the body has had its vila, and a mayon, then it's good. Akula by mayon over mikveh. He said, if you look in the psukim in today's sedra, that's what it says. It only has the expression, rachatz is called b'sara by mayon, by the other people who need... Who don't need a mayon, but by the zav who requires tefillah and a mayon, and then it says verachat tizkom. It's not really always to happen in the psukim either. You look, the Rabbeinu Tam screamed at him. He said that it's wrong, and he demands that he should retract it. So he says he never passed in halacha l'maisa like that. He only said that there's a pilpul in shiur. The Rabbeinu Tam says it's no good for a pilpul either. You can't even say a pilpul if it's not always to happen. It's wrong, is wrong. It wasn't machlokes, but he committed it. Machlokes Rabbeinu Meshulam, Rabbeinu Tam, whether you're allowed to say a pilpul if you know in advance that it's not always gehalten halacha. Rabbeinu Meshulam said you're permitted to say a pilpul, but a duday b'yamar, Rabbeinu Tam held that not. I remember many years ago I was visiting in the Miri Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, so Chaim Shmulevitz was telling us that he was saying a whole pilpul for the American students, and then it wasn't always gehalten at all. And then at the end, one of the boys who was there happens to be a prominent Orthodox rabbi in the New York area now. So one of the boys who was there said, but it's not always gotten. So he told him that it only meant l'chadudi b'yam. So he says, the Americans couldn't understand what it means l'chadudi b'yam. They couldn't appreciate what it means just to say pilpul that you didn't intend that it should be always gotten in the first place. You didn't mean it halacha l'maisa. Rabbi Natan couldn't understand it either. Rabbi Natan must have been in America. Anyway, you look in the psukim, Rabbeinu Meshulam Shtikol Torah is not even always gehalten in the psukim. It's not even 100% correct in the psukim. By the people who don't need mayon, sometimes it says kol, and sometimes it doesn't say kol, so you're going to say that that's what it means. And if that's kol, it means that they're being tovel in a mikveh. When it doesn't say kol, it means that when they're being tovel in a mayon. The whole thing is that this very fish. Anyway, so the din is not correct. The din is that you have to be tovel kol gufo b'asachas, same in mayon, same in mikveh, whatever you're being tovel in. So you cannot interpret, you cannot understand the Pshuta Shal Mikra here, Kolash Yigabu Azav, the Yadav Lashata Bamai, Yemitame Ad Ha'arev, that if he didn't tovel his hand in the water and he touches somebody, then the other guy's tummy, but if he was tovel the hand, even though he wasn't tovel the rest of the body, then the hand is tahor, and then the person that he would touch would not become tummy. That's certainly wrong. It's wrong, even according to Rabbeinu Meshulam, it's wrong.
Because when you dip the hand in the mikveh, if the hand is not yet tohor, you have to dip every, even comes to Rabbeinu Shimon's shekel, which he didn't mean la'aloche. Also, he didn't mean that the hand becomes tohor, then the next time it becomes tohor, he says the whole body will become tohor, only at that point that every single limb has already had its tefillah in the mikveh. You don't say every eiver becomes tohor individually. So how do you read the pshat in the pasuk? So the Gemara doesn't explain what the pshuta is. The Gemara just tells you adrasha, that the only the only parts of the body that require tefillah in the mikveh are those that are similar to yadav l'shat malan. Those that are similar to yadav d'hainu mi'ibaroi. Whatever part of the body is exposed requires tefillah in the mikveh. Whatever part of the body is not exposed, and not always exposed, does not need tefillah in the mikveh. First, say a mouth. If a person talks a lot, his mouth is open all the time, so his mouth is exposed. If a person doesn't talk so much, his mouth is closed. The eyes, inside of the eye. When people sleep, their eyelids are closed, I think. When they are awake, they walk around, so most of the time their eyes are open. Unless they close their eyelids. So there is no requirement when you take a mikveh, you don't have to open your mouth, that water should go in. You don't have to open your eyes, that water should go touch the eyeball. That's not necessary. Why? Because that's not dumya de yodav. Yodav am ibaroi. The outer part, the outer surfaces of the body. But whatever is in the inside, whatever is base astorim, doesn't require tefillah in the mikveh. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, even though it doesn't require tefillah in the mikveh, but if you have a lot of guk inside of the eye, even though you don't need bias mayim on the inside of the eye, but if you have chatzitza there, then it passes the tefillah in the mikveh. Let's say a person has a chatzitza stuck in between his teeth. The Gemara has a brayso in the first Keres Tradition on the Afkal Pei, that's not good. Maisa b'shifchasu shal Rebbe, that she was tevel in the mikveh, and then after being tevel she found that she had a bone stuck in between her teeth, and Rebbe required her to be tevel a second time, because even though you only require bias mayim inside the mouth, but royal the bias mayim dinam, that's it. Chatzitza does come.
My father, if you have an operation,
I guess, well, sometimes you have to open up the throat, and part of the body, it's not like you're going to figure it out. Shouldn't be considered a chatzitza? Okay, let's say a person has false teeth. Or let the person has fillings in his teeth. We're going to say that the metal in the filling is a chatzitza, that even if he were to open his mouth, the water wouldn't be able to touch the top surface, the upper surface of the tooth, because it's covered with metal. So that should be considered a chatzitza. So that's what the Chachmas Sadim says. The filling in the teeth constitute a chatzitza. And those lip facts were always machmas to the Chachmas Sadim, that they don't fill their teeth. One of our Avavala's daughters has all the teeth falling out because she's machmas to the Chachmas Sadim. And everybody today is makel on that. We hold that the filling of the teeth, since it's a permanent filling, so it's brought the lag of the group and it becomes part of the body, so that's not considered a chatzitza. Chatzitza means something that's extraneous, some outside thing that's stuck to the body. But if it's not outside, it became part of the body, so then it's not considered a chatzitza. Cataracts are what? A growth. So that's from the body itself. That's a growth from the body. Let's say a person has a wart growing on his skin, so that's not a chatzitza, even though he wants to remove it. It's not a chatzitza, that's part of the body itself. It's only, let's say, if the body gives off perspiration, and the perspiration accumulates on the surface of the body, and the person would sometimes be mocked to take a shower to wash off his perspiration, so then it's considered a chatzitza. So if you have, let's say, something developed in the body, a person has a disease, has an infection in the eye or in the mouth, and something develops which is excreted from the body, which is something separate from the body itself, and the person would sometimes be mocked on removing that excretion. So that's considered a chatzitza, that's extraneous from the body. Even though it's developed, it was manufactured by the body, it was produced by the body, but then it's excreted from the body. But a cataract is a growth that's mamish attached to the body. It's still attached to the body. So in some of that's not a chatzitza. I don't think that'll be a
chatzitza.
Contact lenses is a shaila of chatzitza. Right, shaila of chatzitza. So some say you have to remove your contact lenses, and if not, it's a chatzitza. Now this time you know that that's not really a chatzitza. That's a lack of bias mayim. It's like keeping your mouth closed. Let's say a person is telling them they kept his mouth closed. So why not say the front of the mouth is a chatzitza? You closed your mouth, you prevented the water from coming in. So the answer is, Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, that that's worse than a chatzitza. That's no bias mayim at all. The lack of bias mayim doesn't bother us on the base hastorim. Only if there's a chatzitza in the base hastorim. But lack of bias mayim is okay. That's why Rav Moshe says, what if a person has earplugs? all the way inside is the id. The person has yid plugs that cover the outside surface, also over here, something that you can touch with your finger when you just put in. That's not beis hasdar. This is megula. This is mibarai. But if a person has earplugs that you insert all the way in, you have to pull it out with a string, let's say. And the earplug only goes all the way in, mamish in the beis hasdar in plug, below the surface point. So then, Rav Moshe claims in his sefer that that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. Chatzitza would be, let's say, if you have so much dirt in your ear, and it's stuck to the inside of the ear, and it's dirt that a normal person would be makpid about removing. So even if this person happens to be abnormal, he's not makpid. We declare that batla daita soldas kol b'nei adam, that's considered a chatzitza, and it's a makpid. It's a miut hamakpid. The din is min hatorah, it's only chatzitza if you have rubo yom makpid. And the rabbanon they were makpid if you have either miut hamakpid or rubo sheino makpid. But if it's a miut sheino makpid, then it's not considered a chatzitza. So let's say if you have dirt in the ear, it's only a miut of the body. It's not considered rubo. So even though it should depend whether the guy's makpid or not, this person is a shtik shmutz and he walks around with all the dirt all over his body, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rishonim, on the Mishnah, but if normal people would be makpid on that, then it's considered a makpid. Even if this abnormal person is not makpid, it's considered a miut ha-makpid. That's defined as makpid. So Rav Moshe claims that the only time it would consider chatzitza is, let's say you have a lot of dirt inside the inside of the ear, all the way inside, that's called a chatzitza, because something, Even though, let's say, this wax was developed by the body, how did the wax get there? The dirt. It's developed by the body, but it's something separate from the body. It's excreted by the body, so it's no longer attached to the body. So that would transfer the chatzitza. You have some dirt that's stuck on the inside. But if you have an earplug there, the earplug is not stuck to the body. The earplug is inserted there to prevent water. It blocks the passage. It blocks the passage of the water. It's not that it's stuck. It's not something stuck to the body. It's like closing your mouth. So closing the mouth doesn't come to the chatzitza. So that means I prevented the bias mind. That's okay. You're permitted to prevent bias mind. So that's what Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva. He thinks that that the earplugs are okay, provided that they're all the way in. If they go to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov and they want to walk on the Makom HaMikdash, why do they have to go to me? You're going to daven in the Makom HaMikdash? So then you have to go to mikveh, no shayma. Or if you're a soldier and you have to stand Shmirah in the Makom HaMikdash, that means gain mikveh.
Okay,
but aside from that, before Erev HaRegel, there's a machlokes. The Gemara says, Chai Bodom Antar Atzma BaRegel. Whether that din applies to Zman HaZeh, that's a machlokes in Poskim. Aside from that, for the purpose of learning Torah, or davening. So the Gemara says that Ezra made a takana that a Balkari is prohibited to learn Torah and is prohibited to daven. And the Gemara says in Brachas, in the end of the second Perek, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira abolished the Takana Ezra with respect to learning Torah. Because Kol Dvari Kaish, Ma'eish Ein Mekabel Tuma, Afti V'Torah Ein Mekabel Tuma. The Gemara never says explicitly whether Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira canceled the Takana Ezra when he gets to davening. Is the Balkari still prohibited to daven based on the Takana Ezra or not? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raiva. The Rambam says in Hilchas Tfila that the Takana Ezra was totally abolished. And he writes, even though he says that he was never mevatel tefillah, he always went to mikveh. The Rambam always went to mikveh, but he says nevertheless, it's only amidas chasidus. It's not mikra adin. And the Rabbi, quoted by the Rosh, disagrees with the Rambam. The Rosh on the second parak in Brachas quotes the Rabbi that disagrees. Says no, that is mikra adin. The Gemara just says halo kol dvar kaiish. That you return up mekabel tuma. For learning Torah, you don't have to go to mikveh, but for the purpose of davening, you still have to go to mikveh. So that's why the chasidim are still makpid. The chesish for the Rabbi chief. That the Rabbi holds a mikra din. The Rambam also holds, even though not mikra din, but he says that it's still a midas chasidus. That's a question because Mishnah discusses. Why should it even constitute a midas chasidus if the takana sezer was abolished in the later generations by Rabbi Ben Maseira? So there's no takana sezer. Fact, there's no takana. So why does it constitute a midas chasidus? And say, I'm not a kohen. So does it constitute a midas chasidus for me not to go to a levaya, not to be metamei the mason? I should be ainu mitzvah yaisa, a volunteer to observe a din that doesn't apply to me. So sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. Let's say a woman will sit in sukkah. A woman will shake a lulav. So there, the Gemara says, she's in a mitzvah, so she gets reward. But if a non-kohen will be machmer, not be mitamei the mason, it absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. There's no kiyum. You have to figure out when the one is in a mitzvah, so gets a kiyum, so then it's recommended to volunteer the mitzvah. Whenever he doesn't get any kiyum, then we don't recommend it. So does it make sense over here? The Rambam says, the me'olam, he was never mevatel tfilas, Balkari for the purpose of davening. Why not? What is even the midas chasidus? If you hold that the takana sezer for davening was in batla, so why do you have to observe it at all? Because if Mishnah gives a difficult explanation over this, of course, I'm showing they give a difficult explanation as to why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Sera have the right to abolish it, and therefore, based on that issue, why do we have the right to abolish it? Why it still constitutes Midas Chassidus to volunteer to
the assumption was that Baal Peri be a palace of Rosh and have the Kavana. So whether you get this mitzvah of Ezra or the human mitzvah aspect of that, that's one discussion. But the fact is that the assumption is that Baal Peri is usually a palace of Rosh. And somehow mitzvah makes him more serious however it happens. To torch
Bokash Boko.
So whether you get this technical key
of
Hamitzvah or not,
because
you're trying to
put yourself into a serious mood. Okay, that's good. He doesn't say that. He gives a very technical answer. The simple answer?
How come Valkyrie, the Easter of Valkyrie davening is from Ezra? Isn't that the Erish Krishna? Right.
Yeah, the Mishnah is after the days of Ezra. Mishnah is recording the Takanas Ezra. You have some Mishnayos that are from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have some Mishnayos in the Gila. Clearly not from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's way later, and then you have some Mishnayos that are from the days of Ezra. And the Mishnayos were composed in different periods of history. So all those Mishnayos are all based on this Takanas Ezra. And today said we have the din of a nidor, that a nidor is tmeyo, and in order to get rid of the tumah, she has to go to a mikveh. Where does it say anywhere in the Torah that a nidor who's asur labayla has to go to mikveh in order to become mutaris labayla? Maybe the din is that once the woman stops being a nidor, so she becomes mutaris labayla without going to the mikveh. That's the question that Tosfos raises in Yevamos, and Daf Mem Zayin on the base. And Rav Chana Rasman has a whole essay on that Tosfos in the Kodesh Haoris on this theme. So Tosfos gives several answers. One answer is that it's based on this pasuk. It says in the Chumash that the nida has to go to mikveh to remove the tumah. So it's understood that it's the same way to remove the yisrael abayim. Other rishayim say no. There are being commentaries based on a different pasuk. But it says after the nida yischato, and the Gemara comments in the last daf and Avodah Zarah, "Mayim shanida taveros behem." What do you mean? I need a taveros behem. I need the taveros behem to remove the tumah. No, it means I need a taveros behem to be mutaris labaylo. So it's based on a different pasuk, but based on a third pasuk, it's based on some kind of a pasuk. It's a big issue. So Rabbi Chana Rasman points out, why didn't all of the Rishonim assume al pipshuto? That is one din of nida. A nida becomes asur labayla and she becomes tameya at the same time. And in order to get rid of the status of nida, the Torah says she has to go to the mikveh. And Kol Ma, she doesn't go to the mikveh. She has the status of nida, both labayla and ataris. Why did the Rishonim make such a fuss over this? Isn't it so obvious that it's all about Hatayim? So he says, obviously, you see that Rubam Shel Rishonim held that it's not Torah Zevizeh. That the din of nida labayla, nida lataris are not teluyim zeh bazeh. If you can have a case where the woman is a nida lataris and she's not a nida labayla at all, it shows the case according to the writer. She gives up a couple of cases that a woman is a nida lataris and not labayla. Places in Bava Kamma also has like that on Daf Yud Aleph from an Aleph. The Gemara there quotes a Mishnah that if a woman is a suffix yoledah, suffix any yoledah, so there's been, so what, does she have the nida labayla or not? What status does she have? She's a suffix. So the Mishnah says it depends. If it's a state of deraisi lachumah, if it's a sex state of lakula, you need an Mishnah deraisi to make. The case is asked, what's going on? What do you mean? State of deraisi lachumah, sex state of lakula? But neither your letters is an issue of tumah v'tare. In tumah v'tare, you don't follow the normal rules of suffix deraisi lachumah, sex state of lakula. We follow a different set of rules. The suffix tumah b'shusa yachid lachumah, the suffix tumah b'shusa rabin is lakula. So these are the wrong rules being used over here. So the Shita Mukhabatis there quotes in the name of the Tosfos HaRosh that here, since it's a Tumah Hayotza Olami Gufa, those rules and regulations don't apply. But the only time the Kloli HaPsak of Sopik Tumah Bishit HaYochid versus Bishit HaRach Matlai is when it's a Tumah Smadha. And the Tumah is, I was Makabal Tumah from some other source. But if it's a Tumah Hayotza Olami Gufa, by Zav Zav and Nidhi, Aledis and Matzor, these five people, you don't apply those Klolim, you revert back to the Kloli HaPsak of Sopik Yisurim, Sopik Yisam Lechumah, and sex sake of the kula. And Tosfos holds that that's not correct, because Tosfos and Nida is not sure whether that's correct or not. Tosfos and Bava Kamma and Dafid Albanov hold that that's not correct, that the Klole, Sofik Tumah B'Shusa Yochid versus B'Shusa Rabma are not limited after to the case of Sofik Tumah Smagor, it even applies to Sofik Tumah Yotel and Migufoy. So what's the terrace? How does the Mishnah say that it depends by your letters, having your letters? The Paschina is based on Sofik versus sex sake. Tosfos says, no, the Mishnah goes to the bylaw. The Mishnah is not talking with Taris. So the Taurus will have one din, the Labayla will have a different din. So you can have God opposite. You can have the woman is a Nido Labayla, and she's not a nidah l'tara. You can have the woman as a nidah l'tara, she's not a nidah l'baila. It's not tali zebizeh at all. When you read the Chumash, one would have thought that it's tali zebizeh. Then when you learn the Gemara, so Rabbi Chanan Asma points out, you learn the Gemara, you see that it's not tali zebizeh at all. It's totally unrelated. So now bet anayin shayla. If you hold that they're totally unrelated, and you have to have a marker from somewhere to indicate that a nidah l'baila has to have tefillah and a mikveh, it's either this pasuk or that pasuk, or Kalvachemik, Zereshava, Halacha, Moshim, Sina, whatever, you fish out some marker, that's what Rav HaRishayim holds. So how do you know there's a din of Chatzitza? Chatzitza is not a svar. Chatzitza is a Gzeres HaKosu. Rav HaRishayim says, Sora Bamayim, Shalai Ha'idav HaChodim, Ben Sora Bamayim. So these psukim are only in today's Sedra, that's by Tumna, for the purpose of removing Tumna. So you're going to tell me that the marker for a Nidah L'Baila requiring Tfilah and Mikvah is Legamri, a different pasuk, Halacha Moshim Sina, different part. How do you know that there's a din of chatzitza by a nida who's tavelas lebayla? Maybe you can leave all the chatzitzas and there's no problem. So there's a passage in the Baal Halachas Gedolos where he writes in one place that en achanami, it's only the Rabbanim. So the Yozerua says that's a misprint. There ain't no such thing. He says it can be easily a misprint because there are 1,001 verses of the Baal Halachas Gedolos. How come? Because he was blind and he dictated. So if I dictate and everyone writes notes, there's going to be 1,001 versions of what I said, all contradicting each other. So they put out, in recent years, they put someone, Hildesheim, you know, put out a scholarly edition of the Baal Halacha Gedolos with all the different Gesuras. Unbelievable, Shinui Gesuras, from the right to the left, black to white, everything completely, everything is completely different. So that's what the Yozerua says. He commits himself to say that line in the Bahag is clearly a misprint, that no one in his right mind would ever say that. Where in the world did the Bahag ever, where did any Meshuggah ever come up to say such a thing? Because there is a Gemara in Nida, on Daf Samach Zayin, where the Gemara distinguishes between Hilchas Chatzitza, the Negeta Lataris, as opposed to the Negeta Labaila, that Labaila were Mekel and Lataris were Mahmer. There are certain things that are considered Chatzitza, only Lataris. For the purpose of the Nida removing the Tumah, but for the purpose of the Nida being the Lataris Labaila, we will be Mekel on that. So the question is, why in the world should you distinguish? So the Pasha, the answer is, Lataris, you have a whole load of Chumras. Lataris, a Chumra mid Rabbana. And this, whoever it was, either the Bahag or the Talmud Torah who wrote in the name of the Bahag, wrote, no, it's the Chakir. Labaila were Mekel, not Lataris were Machma, but Labaila were Mekel, because Labaila, the whole institution of Chatzitza, is only mid Rabbana. So it's enough if you're Machma with the, it's enough if you introduce the Chatzitza to Rabbana. The basic Dinah Chatzitza, the fancy Dinah Chatzitza, you don't have to introduce. But that sheet is not a sheet. That's considered a non-sheet. So still, what is the marker? How do you know that there is a din of chatzitza by nida l'baila? So the Yazarua says he doesn't hold that it's the Rabbana, but he says it must be halacha l'mashe mesina because there just is no pasuk. We worked very hard until the Rishonim and the Gaonim found the pasuk to indicate that a nida l'baila needs tefillah at all in a mikveh. It's not based on the pesukim in today's study, it's based on extraneous sources. So that's what the Yazarua says. We've used up all the sources we have, and the Hechriach, we have to assume that the din of chatzitza l'baila are only halacha l'mashe mesina. It could still be that that's the reason why chatzitza l'taris is a drasha from a pasuk. Chatzitza l'baila is only halacha l'mashe mesina. It could be that that's part of why the Gemara was make more l'baila than l'taris, because if it's halacha l'mashe mesina, you have a right to be make more. That's how the Rambam understood the Gemara in Kiddushin, that the Gemara says that tzafekola b'chutzlos is l'kula. But the Rambam understood it's not only all of b'chutzlos that's tzafekola l'kula. It's every halacha l'mashe mesina. Is Yenoita Lahakal more so than Andinam Deraisa that I learned out from Sukh? So maybe that's part of why the Gemara distinguishing the Chatzitzis between Lataris and Labai. You should know that Bizman Azeh, the Ramos says that the minig is that the women are very tsanua and then master Lel Tfilosim. They don't let everybody in the neighborhood know when they're going to the mikvah. Why is that? Because today, the whole idea of freedom mikvah is only relevant Leheta Labailo. So what is, that's a very private personal thing. What does everybody have to know when the woman is mater, when she's with her husband, when she's not with her husband? You're supposed to have sneers about these things. Hasheni came bizman ha-tanach, bizman ha-mishneh, bizman shabismindish ha-yukayim. The issue of tefillah b'mikveh was not only relevant for labayla, it was relevant for tumah v'taharah. So everybody and your uncle knew when the woman was going to mikveh. Everybody in the family, all the friends, all the neighbors, everybody had to know because the woman used to wear different begodim. In what sense, love should be the Medusa. She had to advertise to all the people that she's familiar. She's not talking the women are going to shake hands with the men. No one shook any hands with the women then. A woman's going to shake hands with a woman. A woman's going to kiss another woman. She's going to play with a baby. The baby's going to become tummy. She's going to touch a pot. The pot's going to become tummy. She's going to cook supper. The supper's going to become tummy. The pot, the chair, everything's going to become tummy. The bed is going to become tummy. The Mishnah says in Nida, the women used to sleep in a different bedroom. When the woman was in Mikvah, she slept on a different bed and different bed. Otherwise, you have to take the bed to Mikvah every month. The Mishnah Mikvah talks about taking the bed to the Mikvah. That poor woman only had one bed. So when she was in Mikvah, the bed became Tameh. And then when she went to Mikvah, she took the bed with her into the Mikvah. Otherwise, if she's not going to take the bed in the Mikvah, she's going to go to the Mikvah and she'll become she'll sleep in the bed. She'll become Tameh again. So then Vaikah, she can't touch any food. She can't touch any clothing. She's going to make everything Tameh. You're back where you started again. Mabayla shall be okay, but Latara shall be messed up again. So the Mishnah has these to have a Beis HaTumis. Beis HaTumis means a separate bedroom where the woman slept when she was men. That's why the Gemara, the end of Nida, talks about a prohibition of the Rabban, that we don't allow a woman to be Tovelas Bayom, even if she's Tovelas Lachas Mana. Even if she's Tovelas, she wasn't able to go to Mikvah this Mana. She goes, let's say, 3 days younger, and she lives far away from the Mikvah, so she goes to Mikvah 2 or 3 days late. Anyway, still she's not allowed to be tabled by Yom, she has to be tabled by Laila. Mar says, why? Mishum Srach Bita. Her daughter is going to see that the mother is tabeled by Yom, and the daughter won't know, at least the daughter is not going to know whether the mother is being tabeled on the 7th day or on the 10th day. The daughter doesn't keep the record what day it is. So the daughter will think that it's a Tfilah Bizmana, and you're allowed to have Tfilah Bizmana by Yom. And it's not so, it's only Tfilah Slev Bizmana that we allow by Yom, and not Tfilah Bizmana. So Mishum Srach Bita, we never allow a woman to be tabeled by Yom. So the question today, when people today learn that Gemara, they're surprised. Women today don't tell their daughters when they're going to Mikvah, as it says in the Yerodea, Nogola has to learn philosophy, but they keep it a secret. So why was it that Bismana Gemara, Bismana Panayim, they were so crude that they let the daughters know when they're going to Mikvah? So the answer is, that's not a problem. The daughters went to Mikvah also. The single girls had to go to Mikvah also. Whoever was Tommy had to go to Mikvah. The issue of going to Mikvah had no connotation of sex. I had no connotation of Hetzel Abayla. Everybody knew anyone who's Tameh has to go to Mikveh. They knew that half of the women were wearing big day leaders, so they're Tameh. Forget about Labayla, not Labayla. So everybody had to know when they went to Mikveh. The daughter and all the friends and all the neighbors, everybody knew when she's going to Mikveh. But the Ramah just says in the later generations that the whole issue of Tfilah to Mikveh is only negated to Hetzel Abayla, has nothing to do with Paris anymore. So if it has to do with Hetzel Abayla, it's a very personal, private thing, so it should be kept private. So you shouldn't be in the Paris in it. There's a pirish that's miyuchas laharayvid on Masechas Tamid. I think that the Achrayim say it's not by the Raivid. There's so many funny things that you find it hard to believe that it's by the Raivid. The pirish on the first Tanim is really by the Raivid. The pirish on Tamid is by someone else. Whoever it is, he has a collection of Rishonim. So he quotes there those who had a minig that when the wife was in Nida, the husband wouldn't duchen unless the wife slept in a different bedroom. It's quotes from the Rabbeinu Hananel, I think, from the Sefer HaMetzora by the Rabbeinu Hananel, that a Kohen whose wife was a Nida wouldn't duchen unless she's sleeping on a separate bed. All kinds of harchokim. All kinds of harchokim. The word Nida, how you say Yerushalayim li Nida, b'nei, what does it mean li Nida? Something that you stay away from. So the word Nida means, the Ramban HaChumash writes, the word Nida in Hebrew means a harchokim, Dovash al harchokim. So that's why you have so many harchokim from the Rabbanon. They're not stam zeres from the Rabbanon. It's called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the Rashi Tikkun. This is a din de Rabbanon as an extension of the concept of Nida. That Nida means the meaning of Hachok. Is a what? Good. Correct. What is the difference between a Nida and a Zava Halacha L'Maisa? There are several differences. One difference is that the Zava has to bring Rabbanis when she becomes buried and Nida does not. Another difference is that the Nida does not require Shivin Akim. She can have Dam for all 6.5 days, and as long as the Dam stops towards the end of the 7th day, she can be tabled in the Mikvah that night. And the Zava has to have Shivin Akim. She has to have Shivin Akim. These are different demons. How do you know where, at any given Riyah, when a woman has a Riyah, whether it's a Nida or a Zava? So the Chumash tells you the clue. A Zava has to, first of all, has to have 3 days in a row. Yomim Rabim, Yomim Shnayim Rabim Shloisha. She has to have 3 days in a row. And secondly, so many women have 3 days in a row, they have a Riyah, no, but it has to be below Es Nidasa, at a time that she's not supposed to have the Riyah Dam. When is that time that she's not supposed to have the Riyah Dam? So the Gemara says, Eva Yud Alef Yom, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Eva Yud Alef Yom, should be Nidor Le Nidor. There are only 11 days that if the woman has the Riyah Dam during those 11 days, if she has a Riyah 1 day or 2 days, she's a Zavah Tana. If she has a Riyah 3 consecutive days, then she becomes a Zavah Gdolo, and she requires a Shivan Akiyim with the carbon at the end. How do you know this institution of the Yud Alef Yom Shebein Nida or Nida? So the Gemara in the last half of Nida points out that it's a Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva darshins it from a Pasuk. He figured out from a post of Gok, he sells the Bali Dasa, Yamun Rabin. He figured it all out from the Psukim that there are 11 days. Now, Abdullah ibn Azari says no, that it's Halacha Moshe Miskina. The Moradeh says that there were several other demons that were disputed between the Rakib and Abdullah ibn Azari. The Kiva held that they had learned that from Psukim. Abdullah ibn Azari said no, that they're Halacha Moshe Miskina. The Kiva somehow had the ability to see more in the Chumash than the other Tanoim. He had the craft to Darshan Psukim more so than the other Tanoim. Is there any difference Halacha Moshe, whether it's Halacha Moshe Miskina or it's Darshan from a Pasuk? The Moradeh never says that there's any difference. The Achronim, several Achronim suggest that they should kapa nachkemina. The Netziv has this. Can be all one there. Some leader. A few other Achronim have it. Rabbi Tzal of Ansburg has to say the Chachmas. Rabbi Tzal of Ansburg also has a few more Achronim have it. They say there's a difficult Shitas Rambam that the Ramban says is against all of Shas, and they say the Torah is that it depends on this issue. The question is, how do you determine when are these Yeralachim Shnei Nidim and Nidim? So the Ramban says, and the Shach says in Yerodeh, that's how we pass it. The Ramban says that Yeralachim mean like this, whenever an Isha becomes a Nidah, let's say she has a Riyah on a Thursday, today's Thursday, she has a Riyah on Thursday. So she's a Nidah starting from Thursday through next Wednesday inclusive. That's 7 days of Nidah. The 11 days immediately following these 7 days, she has the opportunity to become a Zavah. If she has a Riyah 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zavah. Tala Chasra Tazav B'Riyah says Tazav B'Yom. The Gemara says a Zav can have the two of the three Riyahs on the same day. He'll become a Zav for the purpose of the Shidin Ikiyim or for the purpose of Tabbani. But a Zavah, it's not enough if she has three Riyahs on one day in the Yud Al-Kim. She has to have three Riyahs on three different days. All the Riyahs that she has on one day are counted as one Riyah. That's the Gemara Baba Tama, Dr. Chay. Tala Chasra Tazav B'Riyah says Tazav B'Yom. The Mishnah is like that. So the Ramban claims, based on several Gemaras, and that's what the Shach says in the other day, everybody assumes Radim like the Ramban, that the Yud Aleph Yom Shemei Nida Ramida only applies to the first Yud Aleph Yom immediately following the 7 days of Nida. So let's say after those 11 days are up, what happens after that? So the next time she has a Riyaz Dam, whether the very next day, or 10 days later, or 20 days later, or 20 years later, whenever the next Riyah will come, it'll be a Nida for those 7 days, and then the 11 days immediately following those 7 days, she has the opportunity of becoming a Zavah. And then again she's free. Whenever the next year will be, whether sooner or later, she'll become a Nidah, not a Zavah. And the Rambam says not so. Rambam has a strange understanding of what the Yud Aleph Yom are. He says when a woman becomes a Nidah the first time in her life, let's say when she reaches the age of 11, 12, she has the first year, so at that time it's already mikvah for the rest of her life, her whole calendar. She has to get a lifetime calendar. And she should mark off. The first time she had a Riyah in her lifetime was on a Monday at the age of 11 and a half. So it's Nikvah that starting from that Monday through the next Sunday, she's a Nidah. The next 11 days she can become a Zavah depending whether she has a Riyah. The next 7 days if she gets a Riyah, she'll be a Nidah. The next 11 days she can become a Zavah. The next 7 days, the next 11 days, it's 7, 11, 7, 11, Liyomam Voit, the Rambam writes. With two exceptions. Unless she gives birth to a baby. Then you wish Mazel Tov and you have a Kiddush, Machayim and everything, and then after the baby's born you have a Malos of 40 days or 80 days. After the Malos is up, then you start Mechadosh all over again. What do you mean Mechadosh? Whenever she has the first 3 year, again, she has to get a lifetime calendar and mark everything off 7-11, 7-11, the other one's worth. So the next baby she has, then you start again. After the Malos is up, you start again. The first 3 year is again 7-11. That's one exception to the rule. Then the Rambam says another exception to the rule that you don't go 7-11, you don't avoid, you start a new way. Rambam says, what if the woman has the Besis Kavua? Every 28 days she has a Riyah Zan. Every 28 days, sometimes if you start from the first time she had a Riyah in her lifetime, so 28 days later, we'll probably be in the middle of Yud Aleph Yom. No. 7 and 11 is 18, and another 7 is 25, and then comes 11. So if a woman has a Riyah after 28 days, that's in the middle of Yud Aleph Yom. So the first Riyah she had in her lifetime was a Riyah Nidah. The second Riyah was a Riyah Ziva. The Gemara says a Riyah Ziva is not in the create a Vesa. So what's going on? So the Rambam says, no, if the Isha has 3 times in a row, she establishes a Vesa's Kavua. Then I look back in retrospect and I say that Riyah on the 28th day was not a Riyah Ziva. I say this woman has a different calendar. It's not 7-11, 7-11, 7-11, it's 7-11, 7-4, 7-11, 7-4, 7-11, 7-4. If that's her Vesis Kavua, so Vesis Kavua is a Din Deraisa according to the Rambam. Vesis is a Din Deraisa that it changes, it breaks the din of Yud Aleph Yom Shemei Nidah L'Nidah. Instead of continuing to go to roll on starting from the first day that she had a V in her lifetime, it breaks it up and it becomes less. That's based on the pasuk that it says below es nidah. I the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim, where the vest is deraisa, vest is lav deraisa, and we pass from aloche vest is lav deraisa. So how does the Rambam say here that vest is deraisa? That's Rav Chaim's kasha. Rav Chaim has a teretz in his sefer. He says it's a klotz kasha. He says vest is deraisa, vest is lav deraisa is a different issue. Machlekes hatanaim. If the Yom HaVesis came, then the Isha didn't have any dam. This Isha has a Vesis Kavu. Every 28 days she has a Riyan Tam. And then the Yom HaVesis came and she didn't have a Riyan Tam. And she doesn't know what happened. So do you have to assume that Vesis Derais, that there was a Riyan Tam and we don't know where it is, it got lost somewhere, and we assume the woman is a Mido? But you say, no, Vesis Lav Derais, that fact that we assume that the Vada was Riyan Tam, that's only in the Rabban. The Rambam didn't say Vesis Derais, that you can predict in advance that there's going to be a Riyazan, and after the Yom HaVes is proved by, I declare for sure that there was a Riyazan yesterday. The Rambam says that Vesis Derais means a different thing. If a woman has a Vesis, that every 28 days, every 38 days, every 60 days, every 8 months, whatever, some women have longer Vesis than others, every year and a half, the woman has a Riyazan. So the Rambam says, if the woman had all these Riyas that fit into her pattern, that's a Din Deraisa, that the 7-Eleven system has changed. But he didn't say that you can predict in advance and know that the woman is going to have a Riyah on that day, and then after the day passed and there was no Dam, I declare that there was Dam and it must have disappeared. No, that's Vestis Lav Deraisa. That's not Deraisa. Vestis Deraisa is only been a day to say that after it happened, I say that you see it develop the pattern. Rav Chaim compares it to Sharamuot. He says the Gemara compares Vestos to Sharamuot. So he says, what's the Pshat by Sharamuot? If the Shor is Nogeach three times, so you can predict in advance that the shor is going to kill a fourth time. No, you can't predict in advance. And if the shor passed by another shor and you didn't see what happened, you know already that the shor killed the other shor? No, you don't know anything. All it means by shor amuad, it makes a chazaka, the gimel didn't have a chazaka by shor amuad and by vestos. Why? All it means is, if the shor killed three times, we say, oh, look, it fit into a pattern. So if it'll kill a fourth time, I'll say, oh, this was a shor amuad. But it doesn't mean you can predict that it's going to happen the fourth time. So that's all it means by Vestas, that if the Isha had Rias that fit into a pattern, we say that it's it. So this Ramam Shita is against Kama Vakama Gemara. That it keeps on going 7-11, 7-11, unless she gives birth to a baby, then you start again, or unless she has a Vestas Kavua. So Rambani has the Vakama Gemara against the Rama. So there's no way out. How do you find it? It's the famous Gemara against the Rama. So the Achronim had to stand the turret. In order to Minyash and Ramah, they say that perhaps it should depend on the Machlokes, that the Yud Alephim Shemei Nidu Lenidu is learned out from the Psukim, or it's halacha l'moshe misina. If it's learned out from the psukim, then clearly the Ramban is right. Because the psukim only say the first 11 days immediately following the 7 days of Zikr, of Nida, that's all. It doesn't say you have 7-11, 7-11, a system rose on the Olam Vuad, our life's calendar, our lifetime calendar. But if you say that it's halacha l'moshe misina, then you're able to say, then it's nitan layom. If it's a pasuk, the pasuk only said the first 11 days of Zikr. If it's halacha l'moshe misina, so you don't know what was included in halacha l'moshe misina. So the Rambam was free to advance his claim that it's 7-11 the Olam Vod. So that's what the Achronim say, that the Rambam was says 7-11 the Olam Vod is because he passes against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that it's a pasuk. I'm losing my eyes. I say it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the Rambam passes that it's halacha. So that's why he's able to say such a sheet. I'm a sefer, Allah Shivas Yamin, the Zav and the Zav have to have Sfira Shiva Nikiyim. The Rishonim point out that it's not the same as Sfira Saimah. Sfira Saimah, you have to have Sfira Bitek. And you say a bracha beforehand. And here by the Zav and the Zav, you don't say a bracha beforehand. Shai says, why not? Why don't you say a bracha beforehand? So the Pashat answer is that there's no Sfira Bitek. The sefer law just means Shetamtin, she should wait. But that's not exactly what they say. The Ramban says that. The Sefer Lamid becomes him. The Tosfos in Ksuvos Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph writes, Shem Atira V'Tista, that we don't allow her to say a bracha because it may turn out to be a bracha l'batala. She may have a Riyah Dam in the middle of the Shiva Nikiyim, and she'll have to start the Sefiras all over again. So from the Tosfos it sounds like, in the Kashya, they seem to have wanted to equate Sefira Shiva Nikiyim of the Zavah with Sefira Saimah. You should say a bracha and have Sefira prepare and the whole works. And the only parrot, the only thing that changed in the parrot was that it may turn out to be a bracha levatola, so we wouldn't recommend that you should say a bracha, but it sounds like you still do the sphere of the pet. So that's what the Shalom HaKodesh was medayik from the Taisis. He said, you see from that Taisis, that a man and a woman who are counting Shiva Nikiyim for a Zav and a Zavah have to have sphere of the pet.
And then Yehuda is quoted on the bottom of